our best month was $40. I was trying to sell 2 premium puzzles for $40. If your personal life is a mess financially, good luck. I did just lose all this money. You don't have to go out and, you know, spend $1,000 plus and get the best course possible. Just by being consistent and I think showing up, you're gonna beat out like 90% of people. My name is Brandon Zinzer. I'm currently an e-commerce seller. Quit my job about a month and a half ago to pursue my business full time. And so to kind of give a background, so I have a marketing background. Right after college, I went ahead and had kind of a marketing job that I really didn't like. And then I jumped to a sales job that was cold call sales that I really didn't like. And then I landed a job at a crowdfunding agency, and that kind of sparked and started the whole e-commerce journey of kind of like what's possible. I saw, you know, what was happening within the crowdfunding business, you know, what brand new players to the market were doing, and that kind of was where it all started.
That's awesome. And I feel like you've told me this before as well, too, like, what was the reason for wanting to go with an e-commerce business versus like some other type of business?
I think it's just the freedom to kind of be wherever you want, right? And not have to be beholden to a certain spot. Like obviously, you know, car salesmen kind of have to be on the lot, right? Realtors have to be out in the field, you know, selling, you know, showing homes and dealing with people obviously on a daily basis. So I think the pull was really kind of the freedom of like work anywhere and not have to be really, I guess, not have to deal with like as many people or managing people until you get to a certain point where you do outsource things. But that was kind of the main pull for me.
And have you had any ideas or thoughts of wanting to be able to get to that outsourcing point to where you're not doing things all by yourself, or is that something that would
So we're almost at that point right now. Of course, we outsource stuff like, you know, CPA work, bookkeeping, graphic design, some copywriting, and then, you know, illustrations and things that we can't do or don't have the, not can't do, but just don't have the skill set to do currently, or, you know, really don't have the time or want to make time for. Yeah, we go ahead and outsource that now. But in the future, yeah, as you grow bigger, I think you do need to outsource more and more, and just kind of focus on what's really moving the needle.
In your take, what would you say is moving the needle the most currently in your business?
Yeah, so well, just kind of creative thinking, right? So trying to like think outside the box. It's hard to pay someone, I feel like, to think like you, right? And you can pay someone to do the graphic design, you can, you know, and then suggest edits, or you can pay someone to do the copywriting and then suggest edits, build you a website, right? So I think that that's the biggest thing for me is me like sourcing creative ideas and then acting on them. So that's something that I don't think I could outsource as much.
Yeah, because the creativity aspect is probably one of the harder things to come around, and maybe that's where people fail possibly because they don't have that creative aspect. Because you have a background in creativity, if I'm not mistaken.
Background in, well, in marketing, and you know, working at agencies, I worked at a couple of different agencies, and you know, just learning from other companies, right, is a big thing, and seeing how they do things, and not necessarily copying anyone in particular, but just having all these ideas, you know, pinging off of your brain while you're, you know, you're spending years at these other companies, definitely I think helps. And then just honestly having the time to, like now that I, you know, just work for myself, having the time to just sit in my office and kind of think about things, right? Whereas before, even when I was running my business part-time, there was a lot of other things going on. I had a lot of other duties at, you know, my job, right? Where, you know, that was taking up a lot of the time. So I think that being able to like be in solitude and kind of have your own, like have your own time to yourself helps with the creativity for sure.
Yeah. Because the transition from going from like a 9 to 5 to doing your own thing, like it's, you said it's been about a month and a half. How, if somebody, say, like, younger is wanting to do that exact same thing, like, do you have any recommendations for them?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's at a different place and, you know, a different place with how much risk they're willing to take, right? So I think that you have to be smart about it, and without getting into like too many details and not trying to like preach to people because everyone's so different, but I can just talk about what was important for me, and that was at one of the biggest sorry expenses that I don't think people think about is healthcare, right? And if you don't have a traditional 9 to 5, or if you can't jump onto this isn't I guess as a parent for people under 26, I believe if you can't jump onto a parent's plan, you have to pay for your own healthcare, and it's typically pretty expensive per month. So being able to like kind of have that in place, like, hey, am I gonna if I'm under, and I don't quote me, I think it's under 26 is the cutoff age to like be on your parents' healthcare for from their job or their business or whatever. So making sure you have something like that in place to where you're covered, you don't have to pay, $1,000 plus per month for healthcare. And then just having like the typical, what people say is 3 to 6 months of expenses saved up for emergencies. Because if you're taking care of yourself, right, and you have car payments, or you have a car, you have rent or a mortgage to take care of, and you need to eat food and things like that. You need to be able to like, cover those, especially if you're just getting started out in your business. So that was really important to me to like, hey, have plenty of cash on hand to cover just typical expenses, right? And so the part before that is calculating, and most people don't do this. What are my expenses, right? Well, what like have I? How much am I averaging on my credit card per month? Or if you don't use a credit card, just how much of my how much is going out of my bank account versus how much is going into my bank account, I think is the easiest way to look at that.
And have you found any good strategies for being able to manage the income versus the expenses with having your own business?
Yeah, so well, I guess personally, I mean, I have a spreadsheet where I track everything that's coming in and going out. So yeah, through credit card usage, what's getting drafted out of my account, right? Like a mortgage, escrow, stuff like that. And even I think my internet and other utilities are just drafted out of my account. So I count that, count my different streams of income in there. I even count like, hey, what did I invest in this month in terms of, in my case, stocks, right? Or ETFs mainly, exchange traded funds. So I track kind of all that on a monthly basis. And then it tells me, with some of the, it is very simple, and there's some formulas in there. It just spits out a number at the bottom. Hey, this is what you spent. This is what you earned. And so essentially, this is what you saved.
Yeah, and understanding your incomes and your expenses probably helps out a lot, especially for some, I'm assuming getting started out with like e-commerce or just FBA in general. It's a good idea to understand what they can put into it each month because you've done quite a bit of advertising yourself to be able to get traction to your products, I'm assuming, or are you just doing it organically?
Yeah, no, I mean, you want to have a balance between organic sales and paid sales. So typically we like to see kind of like 50-50 organic and paid. Ideally, I mean, you'd like to have, like 80-20, 80% organic, 20% paid. But I think a good balance is like 50-50. And to your point, when you're getting started out in e-commerce, whether you're doing, I don't know if drop shipping is still a thing, or Amazon or anything really where you're selling a physical product, you need to be able to calculate, what is going to be like my net return on this. And I think a lot of people's personal lives go into their business lives, right? So if your personal life is a mess financially, good luck, with your business, right? That's not probably going to work out too well. And I say that because, you have to calculate the cost of if you're selling this physical product, which is different than information products. Hey, well, what is this going to cost me? What is this going to cost, like for the physical product? What is it going to cost me landed, meaning getting that product to me, which are two different things, because you can order the product, but then maybe you're sourcing from China or some other country, right? How much is that going to cost per unit landed, right? And then you need to calculate your selling fees wherever you're selling. Is the retail store taking a percentage, or in the case of Amazon, what are the FBA fees, or what are the fulfillment by merchant fees, right? And that's usually based on product tier size, right? In terms of e-commerce, because they're storing all these products at their distribution centers. So they essentially charge you based on the product cost, like how much the MSRP is on it, plus the FBA fees to actually ship the product out, and that's all based on like weight and essentially volume dimensions.
Then is there a good like strategy for finding like products that have like high margins versus low margins that like are actually able to perform well? Because I think you've used some software in the past, if I'm not mistaken. I just don't know if that's the main way or if there's other different ways to be able to find high-performing products.
Yeah, in the case of like Amazon, Jungle Scout, Helium 10, those are two softwares that can really kind of open your eyes and peel back, you know, behind the scenes of other e-commerce sellers, you know, what they're making in terms of monthly revenue. And then also like their product size tier of, hey, what are the FBA fees for this product at this price point with these dimensions, right? So you, instead of going in blind, people really should be doing a ton of homework on, hey, just what is my net profit? And there's so many things that go into net profit. And yes, these softwares definitely help kind of clear things up so there's no surprises.
Yeah, because Jungle Scout, I think, was one of the products or softwares that I've seen that other FBA sellers have been able to use to find high-performing products. Is that the main one that you recommend for somebody getting started, or is there some other ones that you'd kind of recommend checking out?
It depends what you're comfortable with. I know that each platform, like Helium, like I use Helium 10, so Helium 10 for me, I'm more comfortable with. Both platforms have learning courses, I believe, that are free with the software, that kind of go into more detail about just, you know, selling online in general, you know, pay-per-click advertising, things like that. So I would say, you know, pick one. Like if you take a course from someone and they use Jungle Scout, you know, you may want to go with Jungle Scout because you're learning from them. Or if, you know, someone uses Helium 10, you may just want to go with that software if you're learning from a certain person, just because it'll make it easier, I think, in the short term.
And you recommend people getting started out with some type of course instead of doing all the
research? Yeah.
Right,
so then I would definitely say, instead of going in blind, or just kind of, you can maybe get by watching YouTube videos and things like that, but I think having structured content in course form that's all, you know, in one place, and especially, you know, if that course offers one-on-one coaching or some type of sessions where you can ask questions and get feedback from that professional, I think that it just really speeds up the process overall.
Is that something you've ever considered doing yourself? Because clearly you have been able to be successful in FBA. So is that something that you think other people would benefit from?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I really did starting out, right? I took a course, right? At one of my previous positions, we had a learning fund, or, you know, yearly, right, where the company was willing to contribute, I think it was up to $1,500 per employee for different educational, you know, courses or whatever, as long as it matched up to like the job that they were doing. So that's how it really got started. Now, it wasn't, looking back, it really wasn't a great course, but it was enough to get me started, I'd say. So the course you don't have to go out and, you know, spend $1,000 plus and get the best course possible. My course, I think, was like $495, and it outlined enough to, like I said, get started, like understand the different shipping tiers, like DDP and all these different things, where when you're getting these goods from different countries, it goes through essentially like certain different, you essentially pass it off to like different people. And DDP is a shipping tier where it's just kind of all hands off, all of it's taken care of for you. So if you're ordering something from China or India or wherever, you don't actually have to pick up the goods at any different point in that. It'll just get delivered to your address of choice in the US. So I would have never, you know, known about that if it wasn't for the course. And, you know, some of the courses have different worksheets that you can, you know, put your own ideas into and see if it's a good idea. So I would definitely say getting started with some course can probably fast track your success.
Yeah, and you're familiar, I think, with Alex Hormozi as well, and he talks about that, where it's like you can either spend money or you can spend time, and it sounds like time or money spending, you spending money has been more beneficial than you spending time to be able to accelerate your growth, to be able to leave your 9-to-5 sooner then.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, I probably should have and could have definitely left my 9-to-5 sooner. I've had my business for like 4.5 years, so I was more so, I feel like, dragging my feet a bit, right? So I think that people can, you know, I don't regret anything per se at all. I just needed to be in like a super comfortable place financially to pull the plug. And it helps, like, if you really don't enjoy the quote unquote job you're doing or the company you're at, I think that's kind of a blessing for a lot of people. Like for me, it definitely was, because it made the decision so much easier to kind of pull the plug and go off on my own.
Yeah, and do you have a certain way that you structure your days now? Because like I know most of the time, like when people work 9-to-5 jobs, they have like, I do this at this time and then I clock out for this time. Like, do you have certain structures within your own day, or is it just kind of like whatever happens, happens?
Yeah, so that's the thing. When you know it's your first day, quote unquote, on the job for yourself, you're like, well, what do I do now? Or what do I start with, right? Because most people already have their structure planned out for them. When you're at a 9-to-5, you know, you just look at your calendar. You're going to have this meeting with this person, you know, this meeting with this client, this meeting internally with another employee, right? You're going to need to set aside time to do this, that, the other, right? So when usually, if you're at a pretty structured organization, they do it for you. So when you go off on your own, it's up to you. So what are you going to do, right? So for me, I was like, hey, well, you know, I want to give myself the best shot at continuing growing my business. So I'm going to do a few things, right? I want to get up earlier than I was when I was working the traditional 9-to-5. I want to, you know, just have a little bit more time in the morning to get things done. And whether that be reading, you know, meditation, exercise. I'm a big exercise person, so I just walk to the Y near my house, the gym over there, and, you know, can pump out a quick 45-minute workout. And there's really no travel time. It takes me 2 minutes to walk there. So being able to get all that stuff done and then get going by a certain time was a big thing for me, right? And that's just personal stuff for me. And then, you know, the work begins. You know, what am I doing, right? Do I need to do research first for different products that I potentially want to sell? Do I need to get back to, you know, freelancers to critique their work, right? Do I need to check email, what have you? And I do have a couple clients that I consult for specifically marketing, email marketing, SMS marketing. So I do have to check in with them as well, right? And I just wanted to have, you know, kind of keep my skills sharp in the lifecycle marketing field. So that's why I did want to take on those couple accounts. Again, it doesn't take up too much time. Of course, I'm giving them all of my experience and knowledge, but I structure it in a way that it doesn't affect my business, right? And my business doesn't affect what I'm doing for them. So balance is key here, I think. And if you're, sorry, if you're not a self-starter, it's going to be a lot harder, right? If you're not organized, if you can't essentially, you know, stick to it, like create a schedule and then stick to it, it's a bit harder to be an entrepreneur or your own boss.
Yeah. And when you say self-starter, do you think that there's certain characteristics or traits that you have that have been able to allow you to be successful as a self-starter that somebody else could kind of acquire with them kind of taking some of your wisdom?
Yeah, I think, I mean, just organization, right? Organization is a huge thing, because if you're not organized, I guess that's one of the, like the biggest skill sets, is just being able to be organized and then being able to follow through with yourself, right? Part of organization is, yeah, you set times to do certain things, but if you have no follow through and you're just, it's no one else's fault but yours, you're your own boss now. You set your time, you set your schedule. So organization and follow through are big skill sets. And then also time management, right? That would probably be the third big one. How do you manage your time? Because I can, you know, all day, go ahead and do research, and then boom, get on my phone and get lost in TikTok and social media. And then, you know, before you know, an hour goes by, right? To where I just wasted all that time. So being able to combat that and be able to manage your time effectively and stay on track is pretty big.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of people like get distracted with the phones nowadays. Like you have TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, like everything always seems to be distracted. So have you found out ways to keep yourself focused when you are doing that work then?
Yeah, I would say if you can, and if, again, if you don't, if you have a little less self-control, I would just leave the phone out of where you're working, whether that be your office or bedroom, or if you're in a studio, your living room, whatever, just like out of sight and on vibrate. Because I think we all, when we hear that ding or ping or whatever, you know, we want to see what it is, right? Being able to turn on do not disturb on your computer, if you have a Mac or whatever, you know, computer you use, right? I'm sure, I think everyone has those kind of settings where you can do that. So just be able to turn the distractions off, you know, and kind of get the device out of the room. Or if you have to work on your computer, just turn off or turn on the do not disturb.
Yeah. And you also talked about how you've been doing this for about four and a half years or so. What months and like products have been the most successful for you during that process? Or that time frame, I guess I should say.
Yeah, so I'm in the kind of the party supplies industry, so I'm not going to get too specific on the products, but I would say, you know, you have to do your research, right? And this goes back to using those softwares like Helium 10 or Jungle Scout. Looking up, you know, is essentially, you know, Amazon's like a, it's like almost like a Google. It's like a keyword place, right? Where people go ahead and type in keywords to then find what they want to look for. So being able to do that research and just making sure that there's enough search volume for your product, right? And then from there, if there's enough search volume, okay, well, what is the competition doing? Can you go ahead and read the comments of the competition, the bad comments actually, and be like, hey, well, can I create a similar product but make it better based on the negative reviews that I'm seeing, right? So if you have search volume for the type of product that you're looking to sell and your product's better than the competition, it's going to be more likely going to be a hit, right? So I've had products where I just essentially in the early days went ahead and like the product was selling great, right? But there was a whole bunch of people selling that particular product, and my product wasn't different enough. And so of course the people who have the best ranking in terms of for those keywords, who have the most reviews, they're going to beat, you know, that me out, you know, every single day. So I've had failed products like that, to where, you know, just because it's selling well for other people, if you have are literally selling the same thing, but you don't have all those other things I listed, which is, you know, search term volume, organically, if you're not running, you know, a good amount of paid ads, and if your product's not different, then they're going to win. So products that have hit well are products that are different, right? That you can't actually go into a retail store and purchase, products that are in, you know, a little bit more specific niches where it's not like birthday, right? Or it's not bachelorette party, right? It's not like that broad, but like subsections, so niches within those niches. That's where I found the most success.
Yeah, and you talked about having failed products as well. What was the thing that made you want to like continue moving forward? Because I feel like a lot of people, they try Amazon and then they're like, oh, well, this product failed, so I'm just going to give up and not try it again.
Yeah, well, I will say I was pretty lucky in the beginning just because my first product or couple products did hit pretty well just because they were so different. But there's risk, right? If your product's so different that no one else is selling something similar, that's a huge risk. It doesn't, like, you could not make any money, right? If you're creating a new category, there are no search terms, right? So how can you gauge your success using all these softwares if no one's looking for it, right? You know, or it doesn't really exist. So if you can create new categories, it's a little bit different. But failed products, I mean, so like I mentioned, like, you know, the first couple did hit pretty well. So then that gave us enough money to kind of go ahead and, you know, move forward, right? With being able to like, hey, you know, we lost X amount of dollars on this one, whatever, you know, we'll just write it off at the end of the year, you know, and then move on, right? And keep going. So, but that being said, if you're starting out and you don't have a ton of capital or a decent amount of capital, and taking a few thousand dollar loss is really going to hurt you, that's when like mindset comes into place where of like, hey, you know, I did just lose all this money, but I'm going to keep, you know, moving forward. I'm going to cut back on these expenses in my life, or I'm not going to take this trip, or I'm going to cut out, you know, subscriptions, or move into a smaller, you know, unit if you're in an apartment, or whatever it is. You know, so people, if you have the mindset, you can make it work. But I think that there's like different levels of being able to lose money and kind of keep going.
So it almost sounds like having that mindset or the ability to kind of downsize because you have a bigger vision of like, oh, this is where I want to take the business. So everything else is secondary has benefited you in more ways than probably most other people would realize.
Well, I would say, yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough to have some of those first products hit pretty well to where when I did make mistakes that were bigger financial losses, it didn't hit me as hard as, you know, someone who was just starting out. And I think I shared this with you before. I do have a company called Smart Start Puzzles, so it's smartstartpuzzles.com. And, you know, I didn't want to get in the analysis paralysis, right, where I was like, you know, hey, yes, I'm doing research on this new, you know, puzzle product that I want to create, but I'm not going to sit there and, you know, do all these surveys and do all this and that. So I kind of went out and got the product made a little bit more rushed. But then when it came time to do the pre-launch for it, again, before I ordered all the units, right, in bulk order, I just had maybe like 10 samples. I had a pre-launch of it, and then I saw that the demand wasn't as high as I thought it was, because we ran ads and we got hundreds and hundreds of, we didn't spend that much money, to be honest, a grand or 15 or like 1300 or something like that. And we got hundreds and hundreds of leads. But by when it came time that we started taking pre-orders, right, there was, I think, things wrong in terms of you go back to like, hey, this packaging is too big. Therefore, it's going to cost me, you know, my margin isn't going to be as great as I thought it was, right? And if you add all these advertising costs on there, you know, the margin keeps shrinking. And like, hey, I can actually make this way more profitable for me and make it way more in reach of the average person. I was trying to sell 2 premium puzzles for $40, right? So that, and I had to do that not because I wanted to, but because my costs were so high. I thought like, hey, I needed to make it out of like the best like premium wood possible. I needed to include multiple puzzles, you know, within here. And because of that, the packaging needed to be bigger and larger and cost more. So then all these costs added up, you know, and talk about fulfillment fees and warehouse fees. The packaging was bigger, so then it cost me more to get it, you know, fulfilled by the distribution center. So that's why I had to have that $40, you know, product, right? And I saw people, not as many people, some people bought, but not as many pre-orders as I thought. And so that's where I was like, hey, I need to go back to the drawing board. And I lost, you know, $1,500 just right there because I put a deposit down, a small deposit down on the bulk order. I was like, no, I can't go through with this order. Because I'm seeing like the signs clear as day, and then the manufacturer's like, well, we already started, so I guess we can, you know, we can cancel your order, but we're keeping your deposit, right? So that's one something that happened recently. Even though it was a small loss, like I said, about $1,500, you know, it was a loss, right? And if of course we're in a place where we can take those losses, but it does sting a little still.
Yeah, I mean, losing money anytime I feel like stings, regardless if it's 500, 5,000, whatever it may be. It's just like,
wow. That could be used towards advertising. That could be used towards testing, you know, a new product, right? It could be used towards shipping for a big bulk order. And now that money's just gone. But yeah, there's scale to it. Like you said, $500, $5,000, $50,000, depending on where you're at, a loss is a loss.
Yeah, and would you consider it a loss or more of like a teaching lesson?
Well, yeah, I would say to put a positive spin on it, it's definitely, you know, a learning experience, right? Of like now, you know, I'm on the second iteration of it. I'm slowing down a lot more. And this won't just lead into this product, but it'll lead into other product launches that we have coming up. Because I have about 12 different products that I'm going to be launching by Q1 of next year, which is 2024. And, you know, we're going slower now because I learned like, hey, you're bound to make mistakes, especially if you're going really quickly. So yeah, definitely a learning experience. Yeah, it's money lost, but you build up all these nuggets of learning experiences when you do things for years and years and years, and that's what's invaluable. And going back to, you know, buying someone's course, not every course is just a scam. You're paying for people's time and paying for their knowledge of all the little mistakes that they've made over the years. And so that's invaluable. So I'm a big proponent of courses. I don't have a course to sell anyone. Maybe that'll come in the future, but I'm still a proponent of, you know, taking courses to excel.
Yeah, because the course, like, it's just all the condensed information in one specific spot compared to being all over the web, like you were saying earlier too. It's like, well, this guy says I should use Jungle Scout, whereas this guy says I should use Helium. Like, which one do I actually use? So having somebody that you can follow the step-by-step process, because I think courses have had a bad rep in the past, but it's also like they're those stepping stones that help you get to the place to where you were able to leave your 9-to-5 job. Like, if you never would have taken that course, you probably never would have been in a position such as like you are in right now, I'm assuming.
Correct. Yeah, I think that, like I said, I didn't take the best course, but again, it gave me enough knowledge to at least start. And then from there, kind of learn on my own. So there's different levels of courses, and it's not necessarily like the amount you pay. You probably want to look into the reviews. Maybe look at, if you're looking at, you know, YouTube and you're not necessarily taking their course, but they're talking about their course, look at the comments of people who have taken it. There's probably other websites out there that can give you a better idea. But again, just taking, or actually, I guess not again because I didn't say this, but not just taking a course doesn't mean anything. If you have no follow through and no action, you could buy a $10,000 course. If you don't do anything or use it, okay, it could have been an awesome course. So there's so many different facets of, you know, being a self-starter and like being a great entrepreneur. It's not just the tools you have. You have to know how to pick up the tools and use them as well.
Yeah, because like, I've read lots of books, and there's been books that I've read that like I probably don't implement anything, but it sounds almost like, as long as you implement the knowledge that you're given, there is like, you're almost pretty much guaranteed to succeed in whatever endeavor you go after.
And you're not guaranteed, but to be honest, and I'm not a pessimist, but I like to think of myself as a realist, but if you just try and be consistent, you're going to beat out most people, right? I truly have seen this, and I believe that most people don't really live up to their full potential, right? There's so many distractions, whether it be social media or maybe relationships in their life, or family or hobbies, right? That aren't really moving them forward. I think that a lot of people could definitely you know, use their potential to a much greater capacity, but people don't. So just by being consistent and I think showing up, you're gonna beat out like 90% of people already right there. So I don't think it's as hard as people make it out to be. What's hard is kind of showing up, putting the work. If you, you know, get knocked down in whatever, you know, way you want to think about that, just being able to get back up and kind of having the drive to keep going, right? And a lot of people need encouragement, right? A lot of people need encouragement from family, friends, you know, their spouse, significant other, whatnot. And that can kind of hold you back as well. Because like I think we've talked about before, not everyone in your family or your friend group is going to agree with what you're doing. You go and, you know, lose money, and then people be like, oh, I told you so. You're taking way too much risk. Like, you really shouldn't be doing that. And so there's all this talk in the back of your head, right? That kind of is leading you maybe down a different path that you don't want to go down. So I think being able to have like tough skin and kind of being hard-headed is another skill set that you know, entrepreneurs and people who want to run their own company really need. Kind of being able to, yes, take people's feedback, right? But not necessarily take it to heart and just kind of, you know, put it in the memory bank and then take bits and pieces and then make your own decisions.
Yeah, because I've always tried to figure out if it's like a something that can be taught or learned. It almost sounds like it's somewhat that's inherited though. So like if you do have those like maybe family members that aren't supporting you and it's like, oh yeah, I told you, like, wow, you just wasted all this money. If you have friends or family members that aren't supportive of you and your mission, like what would you recommend somebody do?
I would say, I mean, you, and it's hard. Everyone's at like a different level. So I think you have to really pick and choose your friends and who you listen to wisely, right? So I think the easiest way to go about that is, especially if it's, I mean, it's harder to get rid of family, right? But friends, it's a whole different story. So I think if the groups that you're in are not, you know, conducive to your goals and aspirations, you probably might need to find a new group of people to hang out with. And it's not bad to, you know, refresh your circle, you know, every so often, whatever works for you, right? And just being around the same people all the time, I don't think also is conducive to kind of, you know, opening up your mind to different things. So meeting new people, and if the people in your life currently aren't, you know, really supportive of what you're doing, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you can definitely take that with a grain of salt and keep it in your memory bank of you know, of advice, I guess, people are giving you, but maybe not as much so take it to heart and kind of, you know, carve your own path. But again, everyone's at like a different stage, I think, of supportiveness. And some people, you know, whether it be a family member or friends, take a while to warm up to maybe your new idea or lifestyle choice, right? I remember telling you, you know, I had a certain family member that I was close to that wasn't really supportive. Why would you quit your job? You know, what about your 401k, or, you know, what about your healthcare? What about stability? You know, this and that. And some people like truly don't understand that, you know, first of all, hopefully you have those things covered, but you know, you have to take risk. And what I said is like, hey, no one's ever really gotten rich off their 401k, right? If their 401k is, if that's like your nest egg for life, you know, for retirement, with the way the world's going and how expensive things are, I don't know, man. Like you probably need, you know, more than just your 401k. And of course, a lot of people don't know you can contribute to a solo 401k if you're a business owner. So you can have your own 401k. You don't need a traditional job to be able to have a 401k. So I think a lot of people lack the education on what you're trying to do. If a person's not in your spot, they probably have no idea the resources available to someone who, you know, has their own business. There's ways around, you know, healthcare, making it work, whether it's as easy as jumping on your parents' or your spouse's healthcare, all the way to just finding, you know, healthcare for you know, someone who owns a business that might cost a little bit more. Same thing for 401ks, right? You don't need the traditional one. You might not even need a 401k. You can do your own Roth, you know, IRA or solo 401k through a business. So I think a lot of backlash comes from ignorance and lack of education. So I wouldn't necessarily take advice from people who aren't in your spot, right? Or the spot that you want to be in.
Yeah. And it seems like too often everybody wants to give advice. It's just, do you actually know their background? Do you actually know what they've done? And it's kind of hard, I guess, to judge. Clearly you have a proven track record because you are running a multi six-figure e-commerce business. So it's like, you know what you're doing. Like, you have proven success in this specific field. It's just, it obviously took you time to be able to get up to that point. And maybe too often people just expect it to happen overnight, when in reality it takes maybe a couple of months or years to get started.
Yeah, I would say that since I did take so long to actually jump ship and just, you know, get in full time to run my business, I did have, you know, many years to kind of think about things. And so if I, you know, just starting out my business fresh, right, and I either, you know, don't have sales or don't have processes in place, it'd be a lot riskier, I think, and a lot harder to go full time. Whereas you don't maybe need to wait as long as I did, right, in terms of like 4 years to do this. But there might be a middle ground to where, and everyone's different, right? Like, I can't give advice and tell someone, hey, you shouldn't be doing this right now, or you definitely should because you're in a great place according to my thoughts, right? So that's like, there's no blueprint really. So that's what's hard too, is like, you can't just follow someone's life step for step, like the way they did it, and expect to get the same result.
Yeah. Would you say there are certain aspects that you can follow from somebody to be able to get a similar result?
Well, yeah, certain processes, like, again, like, go back to the course thing, if you can learn from, structure right there. But in these courses, sometimes they don't tell you how to manage your books, right? Bookkeeping, that's a huge thing, right? Or in these courses, they're not giving you tax advice on how to minimize your taxes, right? You have to go and find that information other places, right? Like, my business is an LLC, that's limited liability company, but I'm taxed as an S corp. And I do that because as an S corp, I get to write off not only obviously my expenses, but my W-2 wages to myself and my business partner. So it makes our taxable income at the end of the year that's passed off through a K-1, which if you don't know what a K-1 is, look that up. It's like, and it's split evenly between both of us. So these courses, based on the subject that you're trying to learn about and start a business for yourself, it's not an all-in-one thing, right? Like I mentioned, you're not going to get the skill sets of bookkeeping or tax strategy from an e-com course. So you have to learn all these things as you go.
Yeah, I've kind of looked at it as it's just like taking one step at a time. Like, you got to take one step to get to this spot and then another step to get here and here. And then all of a sudden, you are at that six-figure mark, or you have 10 or products or 12 products, or you're launching more.
Correct. Yeah. And yeah, once you get to a place, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's probably hard taking that first step, but if you're saying that like getting into a place, is that easier to do to get into a specific place, or what are your thoughts there? Yeah. So, I mean, so with taking one step at a time, like, it's, I think, hard and maybe difficult for, like, I mean, I've had times in my past where it's been difficult for me to take that first step. It's just once that first step is taken, it's like, wow, this is way easier than I ever thought it could be. Have you kind of run into a similar like realization with you starting the businesses and being able to go out on your own? It's like, wow, that first step was like, it was terrifying. It's just once I took it, it was like, oh, okay, this is way easier than I thought it was.
Yeah. Well, I would say, I mean, wholeheartedly, just, quitting my 9-to-5 job and having that income source completely cut, right? I mean, that's fortunate in my situation, nothing really changed financially when I quit my job. But that's not everyone's case, right? So, but it still was a big, a big lifestyle change of, hey, now I have to set my own hours, do my own things. And it was easier than I thought, to be honest. I don't know if it was like the type of job that I had where I was at an agency, a remote agency, I was working remote, to where, yes, I did have my client calls and my work to be done, but I still kind of set my own hours. So I think that was a very easy transition to go into working for myself and being my own boss, because I already kind of kind of did that anyway. Whereas if someone's going to work for themselves and, hey, they're going in, 5 days a week, they're overworked, exhausted, hating their job and their life and not liking their coworkers and this and that, jumping into, having their day structured for them and all that, then jumping into this where it's kind of like an open sea of where do you want to swim, right? then I think that the transition's a bit harder. But relaying this into products, coming out with my first couple products, the process was a lot more grueling and way more time intensive, to where, it took me a while to come out with even 8-10 products, right? The first ones. And now I dedicated my first month and a half to coming up with 12 different product ideas, doing the research, doing all the calculations, getting quotes from different manufacturers, calculating the timelines, and all that stuff. And I was able to come up with 12 products in a month and a half. if I was at my 9-to-5 doing that, if I was just starting out doing that, it would have taken me quarters and quarters to do that, not a month and a half.
And do you have a predicted revenue basis for those 12 products that you're going to be releasing in Q1, or is it like, I have a feeling you've probably run all the numbers. I just didn't know if you had something in mind of like your return on these 12 products.
Yeah, so we aim to have a minimum of a 35% profit margin, and that's like net after, and everyone, you know, sells different products. Some are more high ticket, some are more low ticket. But yeah, we aim as a company and as an, you know, e-commerce company, aim to have 35% profit margin, and that's everything included. The product costs, you know, the landed costs, all advertising expenses, refunds, all that stuff. So on a day-to-day, we aim to have that. But we don't really like to launch products, and it's somewhat of a volume game for the industry we're in. You know, party supplies, they tend to be a little bit less expensive, right? So you have to sell more volume and have more products to really grow that revenue. But we also don't want a product that's only making a couple $1,000s a month, right? If it's doing that super profitably, like over 50%, then sure, I guess we could keep it on if it's only making $2,000 a month, right? That's, you know, $1,000 a month profit there. But we aim to make at least $4,000 a month on our products. So if you add that up, you know, on just say 10 for round numbers, that'd be an additional $30,000 a month.
$30,000. Yeah. Which that's, that's really good
if
numbers.
If these next products, you know, hit where they're supposed to, where it averages, maybe some might do $8,000 a month, maybe some 10, maybe some 15, maybe some only 3, right? Or 2, or some are going to be losers as well, right? And make nothing and lose money. But as long as you're averaging just around, I guess, 3, right? $3,000 a month, and you launch 10 different products, then, you know, you have the potential to add an extra $30,000 onto what you're already making.
Which is pretty good. And would you recommend, like, say somebody just getting started out, and when you got started out, I have a feeling you probably only started out with one product, or did you start out with multiple products when you...
One product. Yeah, one product. And the story with me, and this could be a great hook clip, is that, you know, I only started out with $1,000, right? That's it. It's just $1,000. $500 for myself and $500 for my partner. That's not that much money, right? And now, you know, our best month was $50,000 in a single month, right, recently. So that's crazy to think that you can join together with someone, or just do it yourself, put up $1,000, in our case it is $500, and then just, you know, have a $50,000 month a couple of years later, right? So it's crazy, like the possibilities out there. And e-commerce with the low overhead, that's a vessel, you know, that where you can start out with not that much money and not that much debt, right? And really, you know, grow your business pretty large.
Yeah, which if it's that simple to make, say, 50 grand, like off of $1,000, I'm always wondering, like, why don't more people do that? Like, it seems like it's a no-brainer. It's like, oh, here's $1,000 and I get $49,000 in like profit afterwards.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say that it's not guaranteed though, right? And people's work ethics are different. The amount of risk that someone's willing to take is different. The knowledge base someone has versus another person is different, right? Have you been in the marketing industry before? Do you have knowledge, past knowledge, that helps you kind of jumpstart your business, right? If you were, say, you know, I don't know, something that doesn't really involve marketing, I'll just say like a postman, right? If you were a postman or woman your entire life, and you know nothing about really the internet or marketing online or running ads or, you know, product development, if you know nothing about that and you're trying to start, it's probably going to take you a bit longer, right, than someone who's been in the field. So it's not as easy as putting up $1,000 and be like, oh, I can make $50,000 plus per month. There's a lot of different factors that go into it, and everyone's so different.
Yeah, because everybody starts at a different spot. And I think too often we, at least I have, I've compared myself with this other person that's making six figures on e-com, or they're doing XYZ thing that it's like, oh, I should be able to do this easy, no problem. And I guess too often we seem to think that like we don't recall and see all their failed successes or all their failures that led them up to the success point. Like you said, like you had other products that worked out well, and then you've had other products that haven't worked out well, but you just kind of kept trekking along to be able to get to the point to where you're at right now.
Correct. Yeah. And there's some risk, right? Say like you don't have a bunch of capital saved up. And again, I'm in a different spot and other people are in way better spots than I am in. Right. But over those 4 years, I chose to really not take much money out of the business and pay myself a very low W-2 salary or distributions, right, relative to what I was earning through the company. And because of that, then that now puts me in a place where we, you know, I have a lot of money, right, in cash saved up, right, to where I can go ahead and just launch 12 products at once, right, and you know, take a little bit more risk. And it doesn't hurt me personally, right, because this money's all in the business. And so what? There might be, you know, a year where I launch all these products and spend all this money and say like none of them do well, which I wouldn't think that would be the case at all because I've done the research and all that. But okay, well, I take the hit on top of my salary, my increased salary that I'm you know, paying myself now, and all these product costs, say it doesn't do very well, right? Well then, okay, well, I didn't lose this X amount of money personally, right? I'll just have to pay less taxes at the end of the year, right? Through that K-1 that I'll be getting, right? Because the way it's set up, LLC taxes and S-Corp, I get a K-1 from the business doesn't pay taxes. It's the individual who owns the LLC that pays the taxes. It gets passed on to that person. So I just look at it that way. It's like I'm taking a risk, but it's not a personal risk just because of the way I've set myself up to do this and the cash that I did save over those past 4 years where I did have a traditional job.
Yeah. And maybe having a traditional job for some people works to be able to do the side business on the side. And then other people, maybe they have to jump all the way in. And like, it seems like every kid and their mom wants to be like in e-commerce or like make passive income online. So it almost sounds like you kind of need to have the processes and the procedures in place before you can actually like scale something up and collect those steps, I guess, along the way to be able to get to your point.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need to have, I mean, when running a business, you definitely need to have structures in place and processes, right? Ways of doing things just to make the way, like what you're doing way more efficient, excuse me. And when you're starting out, you might not have those processes, but this goes back to like, hey, did you work for a marketing agency? Did you work for a crowdfunding agency where all these people are launching these products all the time, maybe from ground zero, right? Like from like a blank, fresh slate. Like, have you been around that at your previous jobs? Well, then great. Now you have all this experience that maybe you didn't do it. It wasn't your company, but you saw what these people were doing. And then you can take that and mold that into, you know, and fit it into your own processes and structures. And you have those structures because you've learned like, hey, this is what I was doing at this, you know, place of work. And this was smart. And, you know, I want to, you know, take nuggets of what I learned there and apply it to myself. Whereas, like I mentioned, if you've been a postman your whole life, nothing, or a postwoman, nothing against that, but you might not have as many valuable nuggets from that job if you're going into something like e-commerce per se. So it does help if you have the background, but it can be done without the background, to your point.
Yeah, and because like being in marketing or sales myself, like videography, it's just like it's I think useful to acquire the skills to be able to get you to the place to where you want to get to. And it seems like that's something that you've done is like, well, let me get paid and have my company pay for this course instead of me having to pay for it myself, which is I think super smart to do.
Yeah. And if you don't have a lot of money starting out, right, and you don't want to spend $500,000, $2,000+ on the course, if you work for a company right now and they do have an education budget per employee, just reach out to your manager or whoever is in charge of that and see if you can, you know, get a course. Like, but for example, if like I was in the marketing field, so getting a marketing course on business development, you know, wasn't far out of left field. But if you're working for a company where what you want to do in terms of like the courses you want to take have literally nothing to do with your job, that might be a harder sell to get your company to pay for.
That is true. And we're coming up right around time. So like, is there anything that you like, do you want other people to reach out to you? Like, how can other people find what you do if they ever want to have some more education on maybe getting started out with FBA or just in anything in general? Like, is there any additional place that you would like for people to go to that are watching this right now?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a YouTube channel, Refined Investor, that you can link there, or the Refined Investor. And in terms of other ways of contacting, I mean, my email, you can email me directly. It's just my last name, Zinser, Z-I-N-S-E-R, 17, so 17 at gmail.com. And yeah, I don't have anything to sell, really, right? As of right now, in terms of courses or anything like that, really kind of focusing on my own business and really having some tremendous large scale growth. And so I'm not really in like the mentoring phase right now, but I think that time will come. In terms of, you know, products, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn as well. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Brandon Zinser. That's probably the best form of communication there. And I'm going to be posting, you know, about my journey on LinkedIn, posting videos from time to time. But YouTube, I'll also post videos there. And I'll be talking about kind of like the wins and mistakes that I've made throughout my journey. And more so recently about smart start puzzles, right? I'm going to do a video here pretty soon on some mistakes that I made that I really learned from early on, and how I took those mistakes and, you know, re-engineered the product to be way better, affordability and just product-wise in general.
Yeah, and I'll link all those down in the description below for you guys so you can check him out. I think he's on Instagram and TikTok as well. I don't know if you're following him there, but like he's posted
some valuable content there. Yeah, I don't even know my handle, to be honest. Yeah, you can look me up. I think it's just Brandon Zinser as well. I don't know what all the handles are, but maybe Caleb can link those in there.
Yeah, I think it was like BPZ15 on Instagram and then Brandon Zinser on TikTok, if I'm not mistaken. So it's pretty much the same everywhere else. And then, yeah, I can also link the smart puzzles down below if you guys want to check out that website. I'm not sure if it's still up because of the pre-launch and everything like that, but that is something that I can include if needed.
Yeah, the URL will be.
Is there anything else that you think?
Yeah, the URL will be always be smartstartpuzzles.com.
Perfect. Is there anything else that you think the viewers could take away or anybody watching this that maybe is wanting to have a little like try going into FBA?
Yeah, I would say kind of mindset is a massive thing, and belief that you can actually do what you're thinking about setting out to do, right? Because if you, I'm reading a book right now about kind of mindset and like essentially belief. If you truly don't believe or kind of half-ass, I don't know if you can cuss on here, things, you know, or like what you're trying to do, you're probably not going to succeed, right? But if you truly deep down believe like, hey, I'm going to do this, it's going to happen. I don't necessarily have all the steps on how it's going to, or like how I'm going to get there, but I know it can be done. This person's done it, this person's done it. They're not that different from myself, right? If you truly believe that you can do it and don't really have like a negative mindset about, you know, oh, I'm not as smart as this person, or I don't have this that person had, right? If you can kind of quit like the negative self-talk and really believe that you can do what you're setting out to do, I think that's the biggest like broad advice that I could give.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate the time, Brandon. And yeah, I figure we can do this again sometime soon as well. Yeah, I'd say it was very valuable for a lot of people. So appreciate you coming on and doing this with us today.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, Caleb. Appreciate it.
To sum up the conversation, it really is quite simple to start an FBA business. If you're willing to take the course, if you're willing to learn, if you're willing to have a growth mindset, then you really can achieve anything that you want to. It took Brandon, as you guys heard, about 4 years to be able to leave his job and start this on his own. It takes time to build something great. Too often, I think we get stuck in the mentality of, oh, this is going to happen overnight, which it can. It's just a lot of the times we don't recognize that it's taken 4.5, 5, 6 years to be able to get to this specific area. So listening to his story and seeing how courses were beneficial to him and how he's in a specific niche down industry has been very beneficial. If you guys are wanting to do the same thing, highly recommend checking him out, send him a DM, and maybe just trying to connect with him. I know he said he's not doing any coaching as of right now. There might be still some time where you guys could connect with him. And if you want to see more content like this, then just leave a comment down below.